And so for a lot of people, you know, their first impression of what a relationship should look like or could look like comes from their upbringing, what they see or don't see in their own homes.
Okay. You know what's crazy though is when you said that sometimes a guy he'll get abusive because he doesn't want to hurt her feelings to break up with her, but he'd rather hurt her. It just seems crazy.
It seems crazy, but you'd be surprised at the things that people will do.
I don't know how to say this without possibly pissing off people. We'll see a woman that we know that's in an abusive relationship where we know she's getting hit. And the first thing is, well, man, why doesn't she just leave?
And so here's the thing.
All right, so this is episode 3 of Lola and Robbie. And we're going to talk today about abusive relationships. I think you call them toxic relationships.
Toxic relationships, yeah.
And we are here again today at Libations. And Lola, what is this drink that was made for us?
This was prepared by Melissa, and this is a rum punch. So this is one of their signature drinks. And for those of you that are from New Orleans, you know that a rum punch specifically has a lot of ingredients in it. And so this is definitely one of their signatures. And this is home of the Saints here in Houston. So if you're trying to watch a Saints game or whatever, people usually come out here and it's a huge party every time the Saints play.
Really? Okay, so this drink, it tastes very smooth, like there's nothing to it. But I'm assuming like after one, you probably...
Yeah, this one will be more than enough, yes.
All right, that's one of the cool things about doing odd things here. All right, so Lola, abusive relationships. Both abusive from... Most times you think of the women being an abusive, but guys can also be in an abusive relationship.
Everyone can be in an abusive relationship, absolutely.
And there's both physical and or emotional. Is there anything else, or it's really those two?
Physical, emotional, mental, financial. There's any type of abuse that you can imagine exists, because all human relationships are somewhat transactional in nature. And so whenever the transaction becomes imbalanced or lopsided, then that's where you can pretty much be sure that abuse is present in a relationship. And for a lot of people, abuse isn't always in your face. It can really sneak up on a person. And in codependent relationships, it's hard to distinguish who's the abused from who's the abuser.
Really?
And so that's something we'll dive a little bit into too. But yes, abusive relationships.
And I got to ask you, so you've been a psychotherapist for how long?
Oh my gosh, the better half of 20 years now.
And wow, you've helped thousands of people. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing relationship type stuff, is that like the number one, and I say relationship, anything to do with the relationship, someone comes to talk to you about. I'm thinking that's like the number one thing you must see as opposed to...
Absolutely, it is the number one thing. Yeah, people are most concerned with their, all relationships in their lives, but particularly their romantic relationships. And what predisposes someone to abusive relationships has a lot to do with what they witnessed or experienced growing up.
Really? Well,
yeah.
Explain that. Go right into that, because that's perfect.
And so for a lot of people, you know, their first impression of what a relationship should look like or could look like comes from their upbringing, what they see or don't see in their own homes.
Okay, so I've heard that if a woman comes from where her dad hit her mom, there's a good chance that she may end up, I don't know about a good chance, but there's a chance she's going to end up in a relationship like that.
There's a chance she may likely end up in a relationship like that, or she herself may become a person that is physically abusive because she never wants to be in the position of being a victim, and so she's hypervigilant, quick to anger, quick to defend, and she may become the person that's physically abusive.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And the same can be said for the male counterpart, that too. You have some men that grow up seeing a mother abuse, and so they swear to themselves that they'll never be that person. And so in turn, they become overly passive, overly accepting of horrible behaviors, overly forgiving of horrible behaviors, and they may place themselves in relationships with women that are pretty much dangerous women in hopes that their love will save and salvage that person.
Okay, that's okay. Let's write that. I've heard a lot of times people say, well, if I just love this person more, maybe I can change them. First of all, trying to change somebody else, that's probably crazy, right?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because we have control over absolutely nothing but ourselves.
That's good. All right, that's very good. All right, so on abusive, you said it can creep on you, creep up on you. What does that mean?
Well, because sometimes when it's commingled with, you know, the wonderful things about a person, all the things that make you feel special and loved, it's hard to distinguish. And I'll say power and control is one of those things, because if you have a significant other and they always want to know where you are and who you're with, or did you make it here or there safely, that can make you feel really special and cared about initially.
Right.
But there are limits to those sorts of things. You know, you're an adult, you're a functioning human being, and so you're capable of taking care of yourself. But if you have someone that's constantly micromanaging you, then it's like, okay, this person may be trying to control me.
Got it. Got it. And I've definitely seen that.
Yeah. And especially now, I know people that track their significant others, sometimes with their knowledge, lots of times without their knowledge. And to me, that's an invasion of privacy. And so someone not accepting that you're an autonomous human being separate from them, that's a sign of a person with power and control issues, because they should be able to accept that, yes, the two of you are in a relationship, but you're an entity all your own, as are they, right, and that you should be able to function independently of one another and then come together out of the desire to come together.
The desire to come. I'm saying, is any of this, is that fixable? If you, someone comes to speak to you about a problem with their spouse, whether it's a guy or girl, and I guess after conversations, you can kind of see where the problems are,
mm-hmm,
right?
'Cause you,
and let's just assume it's the guy. The guy's a huge problem. What's the steps? Is it fixable? But it's, you're trying to get to the guy, his state of mind.
You know, Rob, it's fixable, but people have to really put in a strong commitment to making those changes. And a lot of times the abuser, they're afraid of losing that control. They're afraid of having that power, of losing that power over the other person, because they think if given the choice, this person is going to wise up and decide not to be with me. And that comes from a deeply embedded inferiority complex that the abuser has going on inside, where they're feeling as if I'm not good enough, I'm not deserving enough, I'm not worthy. But they don't know I'm not worthy, but if I give them enough breathing room, they'll discover that I'm not worthy,
wow,
and they won't want me anymore.
So most times, because when you hear about that, the guy, you think the guy is just arrogant, thinks who the hell he is, but there could be another side where he's insecure. Wow. Okay.
Exactly, where he's insecure. And so what happens then, when you're in a relationship with an insecure individual, then they try and project those insecurities onto you. So everything they're insecure about, they start projecting onto you and try to make you insecure about too.
Really?
Yes.
Do they know they're doing this? Do they know?
They know they're doing it. It's a manipulation tactic.
Wow. Wow. Okay, so 20 years ago, I worked with a guy. I don't know if he's still married. I have no idea, because I haven't talked to him probably in at least 18 years.
Mm-hmm.
Met his wife several times at a party, sweet as can be. But then when he was at work, he would tell us all this stuff, control stuff. Really was all about control stuff with him. And he was an easy, very honest guy. I guess my question is, I had no, you know, as a friend, you want to tell him, this is going to sound terrible, as a friend, you want to tell him, get the hell out, right? When
right,
it's his marriage, you don't want to tell someone to get out of a marriage. If it was a girlfriend, I think I'd say in a heartbeat. Not that that's not serious, but not nearly as serious as a marriage.
Right.
But what do you say from the outside when you know your friend, your sister, your brother is in a really bad relationship, and the first thing they do, at least the experience I've had, they immediately but they immediately get very defensive about the person and say, no, that was just, you know, she was in a bad mood, or well, she has a control issue because her last boyfriend cheated on her. Whatever the thing is, there's a thing there, but on the outside looking in, I'm thinking, man, I would shoot myself if I was in that relationship. Mm-hmm. What do you say to you, or is there anything you could say?
Well, you know, Rob, I love that you said that you wanted to tell this person, and that's half the battle right there. I always say, as difficult as it can be to tell somebody that you like or care about that they're in a bad relationship, just do it. Now, it may fracture the relationship that you have with this person forever.
Wow, wow.
It really may, but just do it, because you never want them to say, well, nobody told me, nobody was looking out for me, if only I had known. And so you say it, but just say it all in knowing that, you know what, this is going to create a wedge between us until this relationship ends or until they see the light of day. You know, I had a friend in my early 20s, and she was dating this guy. And he was like, oh, he was super controlling, super abusive. And I remember something transpired once where he and I ended up having a verbal altercation. And so I told her then, I said, you know, hey, this guy, he's a real deal capital A-hole, and you need to not be involved with him, because I see this going all kinds of horrible ways. And I never will forget it. It still resounds in my head today, because they had some sort of altercation in their home. And then I was trying to tell her, hey, you need to leave. You've got to get out of there. You've got, you know, a young daughter already, and you just need to leave. Oh, if he wanted to hurt me, he would have hurt me. He's such and such and such and such. And I was like, oh, so that's where we are now. There are levels to this. There are degrees of, like, this isn't so horrible.
Oh,
and
wow, that's a good point.
He was horrible. He did everything in his power to tear down her self-esteem, tear down her self-worth. And eventually he did try to kill her. He did. And then she got out of the relationship. But she...
Luckily.
She got out of the relationship, but by this time they had an infant son, too. And so for a while, that caused a wedge between she and I's friendship. And we had been friends since we were kids. And she was really angry at me for a long time. But eventually she came back around and said, you know what? You were right. You were right about him, and I just couldn't see it. Now, some of the reasons she couldn't see it, well, she was a single mom raising a child on her own at first. And he swept into the picture, guy with lots of money all over the place, and he was like, the kids call it love bombing nowadays, when you just like are doing so much
all
and just
stuff.
Yeah. And so he was love bombing her all over the place, and he was making life simpler on some ends, but very complicated on other ends. And he would get into altercations with her mom, her sisters, her employers.
Oh my God.
So whoever was up for it, he was up for it too. And so he was just a problem with the capital P.
Wow.
But you couldn't get her to see it. And he just tore away at her self-esteem. And so on the flip side, what ended up coming of all of that for her with that abusive relationship, she was determined to help other women, and she was determined to empower herself. She became a peace officer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So she went to the police academy, went through with flying colors, became a police officer, heavily awarded police officer of over 20-something years and everything.
Nice. Wow. Wow, but, so she told, okay.
Yeah, but that really, I mean, that caused a ding in our relationship
so
for a long time.
Time. You guys are great friends, so you're giving her your feeling. Why? And people do. They immediately get defensive and they get mad, as if you're just attacking, saying your husband's an idiot or something.
Mm-hmm.
They're not seeing, and you could say it, because you could say it as nicely as possible,
mm-hmm.
and immediately get defensive, and then you want to not argue that point, but you want to point out, and then it comes across like, no, we've already talked about this. I address that, and then they get really mad. Why? Why do people get so? Why don't they just say, listen to the person?
I think because we all intrinsically want to have good judgment. And then as human beings, we're all flawed, so we don't always have good judgment. Well, we get really offended when people are like, you made a bad choice. Remember, there used to be this show, Deal or No Deal.
Yes, yes.
And the people get to pick what they're going to choose in the briefcase. And like, you made a good deal or you made a bad deal. You made a bad deal.
That's right.
So it offends people. But I think in recognizing that we're all capable of having poor judgment at some times, that's all you can do is learn from those poor decisions and try and move forward.
Okay.
You know, we're all human. I myself, I'm not without having made questionable judgments in the past. You know, it's odd. I call 2023 my 30th birthday because 30 years ago, this past July, I was in a relationship that was not a good relationship. 17 years old. In a horrible relationship while I was in high school, and this person did end up trying to take my life.
Oh my God, Lola, holy cow.
Oh, Rob. When I tell people I do what I do because I love what I do and I'm good at it, but I am not without blemishes, and I'm not ashamed of saying that. I'm not without blemishes, I'm not without faulty decision making. So a lot of what I know through trial and error.
That's what I'm saying. That actually makes you, I think that probably makes you better at what you do.
You know, the textbooks are just the icing on the cake, but the trial and error really lends itself to it too. And so I was in my high school relationship, I dare not even use the terminology high school sweetheart because there's nothing really sweet about it. But I was in a relationship with a person that was a chameleon. He could be whomever people wanted him to be. And I saw only good things, but everybody else around me saw something different. And my sister even told me early on when I was in this relationship, she was like, hey, I don't like this. It needs to end. And if it doesn't end, I really fear for your life. Now, at this point, not much had happened. Not much of anything, but it was just what she gathered about this person.
Wow.
She was like, you'll try to end this relationship and this is the kind of person that will try to kill you. Bingo, fast forward 10 months.
Before you fast forward, what did you say to your sister? Because you're thinking this is a, what did you say to your sister?
I said, well, first of all, I told a fib. I was like, well, we're friends. We're not in a relationship because I wasn't supposed to be really dating. My parents were strict.
Got it.
I was like, no, we're friends. He's like one of my very best friends and he just gets me and we have all this fun and he's great and he's wonderful, all this stuff.
Right.
And I even remember once being in, I was at one of my friends' houses after school. And so we're all just talking and like getting ready to do our hair for something. And I was like, yeah. And we'll probably, wouldn't it be something if we got married one day? As my friend dropped a plate and it broke. And she was like, what? She was like, married? Why on earth would you think about that? Why would you consider him? And so none of my friends, no one liked him.
Oh, wow.
No one liked him. And I didn't see it. I didn't see that he was controlling. I didn't see that we lived on two totally separate parts of town. There was no beltway system back then. So
Yeah. We
lived on two separate parts of town, but you are managing to make it to wherever I am in 13 minutes. That's suspicious.
Wow. Yeah.
That's suspicious. You always seem to know my whereabouts. You have judgments on my friends. Oh, she's this, she's that. That's a slut, that's a whore. That's,
oh, wow.
So that sort of thing. Oh, that's not really your friend, or I think they're jealous of you. You know, just planting ideas and those sorts of manipulative tactics.
Yeah.
And when it all was said and done, always vilified me, had a way of getting into altercations with me in public places.
He would get into altercations with you. Okay.
Right. But it would come off where I seem like I'm the aggressor. Because I'm getting upset, you're seeing me exhibit that I'm upset or angry, but he's smiling, he seems like he's trying to calm me down, and so then it looks like, oh, she's an angry hothead, and this and that.
Yep.
Fast forward, when all is said and done, he stalked me for a while after we broke up, and...
Wait, can you explain that? You said stalking, so there are women today that are being stalked, or they think they're being stalked. How did you know back then?
Yes, I knew that I was being stalked because eventually it came out. Now, the web of lies that a truly abusive and manipulative person will weave, it can become really intricate, because you would not believe this, because as a teenage person, I did not want to believe someone was doing all of this. But unbeknownst to me, he had an insider in the attendance office that could tell him what time I made it to school, whether I made it to school at all.
What? Really?
Yeah, because oh, you know, God, how like they give students jobs in, yeah, the attendance office.
Yeah.
So one of my classmates worked in the attendance office, and this guy would like just pay him money to find out, hey, did Lola come to school on time today? Did she come to school at all? Was she late? Did she miss this class? Did she miss that class?
Wow.
Would pay him money to find these things out. And so all these intricate little pieces end up fitting together. And so he would know my every move, my every whereabout. And so I think the climax of a whole situation was that after the Christmas break, my parents had gotten me a really nice watch for Christmas because I made like the National Honor Society or something. And he was convinced that I had a boyfriend that bought it for me. And so he ended up like calling and asking my mom like a billion questions. And she got hot because I wasn't even allowed to accept gifts from guys at this point. And so, you know, she had words with him and told him, you don't question me and blah, blah, blah. And you don't need to buy her anything. She has everything she needs from her parents. And so then she was like, this so-called best friend of yours, this is over. Y'all can't be friends anymore. So then what do you think I do?
I'm assuming you went behind your parents' back, because it's right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I go behind my parents' back, continue this relationship / friendship until he literally almost got me thrown out of prom for fighting with the police officer that was on duty there.
Oh, my God.
And then I was like, okay, the relationship is over. I can't take it anymore. I'm fast forwarding, looking to my future. I'm about to go to college. I don't want this anymore. And so then it's the whole coercion of, hey, we need to learn how to be apart. And yeah, we'll get back together, but first just let's learn how to be apart. So we're apart, but I start dating someone.
Right.
He's stalking me, and so he knows that I'm dating someone.
Right.
And he sees me come home from a date. He loses his mind, goes berserk, drives by, shoots up the house.
Wait, your house with your parents, and was just your, wow, Lola, holy smokes.
Crazy, isn't,
yes,
it?
Yes.
Horrifying and crazy. And of course, I know what's happening that night that all of this happens. I don't sleep that night or anything. But, you know, we lived in a neighborhood where gunshots wasn't foreign, so.
Okay.
But okay, so the next day, I get up and I'm like, okay, gotta file a restraining order. You'd be surprised what all it takes for the police to want to give a person a restraining order, or at least 30 years ago, because I did not get one.
Really?
Oh, I did, God, not get one. I didn't have enough documented evidence at the time. And so then another day goes by, and they're just like harassing me all day and telling me that how they're going to kill me and all this other stuff.
Wait, who's they?
The guy. He's telling me how he's, you know, yeah, you're going to die. This is going to happen. So fast forward, he tries to make that happen. And helicopters, police officers, whole thing. And the hurtful thing about it, Rob, was that you would be surprised how little assistance was given to a teenage girl. And then how much blame was put on me, too. So then people are like, oh, what did you do to him? I remember the officers that came out to interview me while he was, you know, missing or on the lam or whatever you want to call it. Oh, girl, what did you do to him? You must have really did this, that, or the next. Very, like, insulting, demeaning, or making it seem like I'm some sort of sex genie or something, that I did something to bring all of this on myself.
Wow.
And man, so that was really, really painful. It was really painful. And so for a lot of people that are in abusive relationships, part of what keeps them there is the lack of assistance. the lack of help, and you're left feeling really vulnerable. And so,
and also, does it make you look weaker to the guy because you went for help, the help is not there? Does he find out, like, did he find out about that? Did he
Well,
know?
Yeah, of course. They find out that the help isn't there, and so it just empowers them even more. That's like just, okay, give me more Vitamix. I'm getting more and more powerful over here because no one's going to listen to you. Thankfully, I think society has evolved enough to where we're not so androcentric and masculine oriented to where women's voices are heard more. But wow, 30 years ago, it was a hot mess. It was ridiculous. Wow. And I felt like even people within my inner circle sort of like blamed me.
Really?
Or felt like that it was something that I was doing. Or because all of this precedence had been set forth with people seeing us argue in public places, but me seeming like I'm the aggressor or the angry person.
Wow.
It had all been set up to make it seem like, okay, you're doing something. Yeah, this is a nice guy.
Yeah, did he finally get fed up?
Wow. Yeah. And wow. So that's a lot. But I think for people that are in abusive relationships, what they have to recognize is that, A, you are not alone, number one. Number two, if it doesn't feel right, don't second guess yourself. It isn't right.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
How about number three? I'm going to throw in number three. I have no idea what I'm talking about. But all your friends, because you said it was a point where you said, wouldn't it be something if we got married? And then you said you didn't know all your friends didn't like them. So when you find out all your friends don't like your boyfriend or your girlfriend, that's a huge sign, right?
You know what, Rob? It really is. And no one likes to hear this. But it really is, because sometimes other people see things that we just do not see.
Stop right there. Is it because of the emotional connection that you have with that person that you're blind to certain things?
It can be because of the emotional connection, or it can be because of things as a cumulative whole. Because when I reflect back on that time in my life, I don't even recognize the person that I was. That was a really difficult time in life for me. You know, during my last 2 years of high school, my dad was actively dying. Okay. And so that was a really tough spot for me to be in. And I sort of turned against anything and everything that was more normal and wholesome and mainstream, because I just didn't feel like that was the lane that I lived in anymore.
Okay.
And so I leaned onto, a darker side. I just did. That's what I was relating to at that time.
Yeah.
So, you know, the guy that's going to the sock hop and all the, no time for you, because that doesn't fit into this dreadful, sad life that I have going right now.
Wow.
So you over here with your manipulative tactics and your flashy ways and your ways of doing this and that, that's where I'm at. But if I had it to do over again now as a healthy person and a thinking person, I never would have been involved with that person. But I was primed for it during that time, because my despair made me open to something like that. Made me vulnerable to something like that.
And again, I'm guessing that you get to a point where you're so used to the all this crap that's going on. That's your world. That's what you're used to.
Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. And this person, like, I think the type of abuse that it was probably psychological more than anything, because he would mainly just try and turn me against everyone else in my life. Or like, yeah, it's everybody else, it's not you. And it's never always everybody else.
That's a good point.
Right, it's never just everybody else. And, oh, well, you're reacting this way. Well, okay, that's because you're a little girl. I thought you were a woman. Well, I'm not a woman. But every teenage girl wants to think she's a woman.
That's
but,
right.
Yeah,
that's
but right. I'm not a woman. But yeah, all of those things. And so people have to really listen to their support system. It's not always easy to hear the things that people tell you or want to say to you. And even when it's, I told you so is coming from a place of love.
That's a good point. It is hard to hear, though.
It's hard to hear, but I told you so is coming from a place of love. And my sister was like, I did tell you so. I told you this just wasn't good. It wouldn't end pretty. Okay, so I know I've dragged this out. So fast forward anyway, he ended up being sentenced to 12 years in prison.
Wow.
And he actually passed away in prison.
Wow.
Yeah, he ended up becoming ill and dying in prison or whatever. But yeah, it was a very eventful... What's the word I'm looking for? It was a learning experience.
Learning experience.
A lot away from that. And I have never judged anyone, male or female, for being in an abusive relationship, because I know that it can happen to anybody. And I'll go one better. I've never even judged a person for being the abuser, because the abuser became that way from something being fractured or broken and unattended to. And so if you're an abusive person, if you are an abuser, you don't have to live that way. There's so much help out here to help you not be that person. Everyone wants cohesiveness within the different parts of self. Everyone desires that. And so can you imagine how much pain you must be in to be an abusive person and lack that sort of inner cohesion?
Yeah, but they have to be willing to acknowledge that they're an abuser. So that's going to be big, I would think.
Absolutely.
So, and you said something a minute ago that's definitely a great segue to, and I don't know how to say this without possibly pissing off people, but especially guys, we'll see a woman that we know that's in an abusive relationship where we know she's getting hit.
Mm.
And then, of course, guys, the first thing we say, and again, is why is she so, again, forgive me for saying this, why is she so stupid? Just get out. Just, especially if it's a boyfriend-girlfriend thing, man. But even if it's a husband-wife thing, move the hell out. And I know it's way more complicated. Can you not dumb it down, but explain it? Because there's something else that's keeping her there. Same thing happens with guys, but from a guy's perspective, I've seen that. And the first thing is, well, man, why doesn't she just leave?
And so here's the thing, especially when it comes to physical abuse. I think physically abusive relationships are a lot harder for people to exit out of than emotionally or mentally abusive relationships.
Really?
Absolutely. Now, keep in mind, there's a certain amount of emotional and mental abuse that goes into a physically abusive relationship. But for a lot of people, physically abusive relationships are just that. They're physical. Volatile in the moment, very painful in the moment, but then once it's over, it's back to business as usual, the honeymoon phase, everything is good, everybody takes up their corners, and then we live in a society that sort of enforces or reinforces corporal punishment. And so it's not a foreign entity to people to be hit for doing something that's wrong.
I got it. Okay.
Yeah, so that's already not something that's foreign to most people.
Yeah, but so wait, you're saying that sometimes the woman that's going through this may feel like she, and again, may feel like she deserved to get hit? I mean, what?
Unfortunately, I've met a lot of women that are like, well, I pushed his buttons, or we fought, meaning they feel like, okay, I did something to him to provoke him, or I pushed him, or I smacked him, and then he choked me. And it's like, whoa, none of that is okay on any level. It's not okay for you to get physical with someone. It's not okay for someone to get physical with you. But people really forgive physical abuse because it happens in fleeting moments, and then it escalates over time. Now, in male-female relationships, a woman is more likely to be physically abused when she's pregnant for the very first time.
Really?
Yes.
Wow. You think that would
isn't
be the
that
one...
disturbing?
Yes, it's insane. You think that'd be the one time, even the asshole would say, "I'm not going to hit it because she's pregnant."
You would think so, but the a-hole is oftentimes threatened by the presence of that burgeoning life growing inside the woman that is demanding her resources, time, and attention.
Oh my
and
God.
And love.
Wow.
And so, yeah, the complications run really deep. And so for a lot of people, they think the physical element can be easily eliminated from a relationship. So they're like, oh, that's all we have. You know, we fight, but that's okay. We can stop that at any time, except it escalates, it grows and grows and grows.
Yeah.
And a lot of times what people don't realize is that the abuser is abusing you because they want you to break off the relationship. They themselves aren't bold enough to break it off, but they want, yeah, I see that a lot. I will have, especially male-female relationships, I will have guys come and they're bringing their significant other to therapy. They've been physically abusive. They're open about it. They admit it, but the woman will not leave.
Wow.
She will not leave. She's there. She's sticking it out. And you can tell he wants it to end. And sometimes they bring them to therapy, hoping that the therapist will say, hey, why don't y'all break up? Or hey, why don't you tell her it's over?
Oh,
they'll bring her to therapy as trying to soften the blow that, hey, this is about to end. I want out of here. But they will keep. They'll keep at it. They'll become more and more aggressive, more and more physically abusive, just waiting on this person to leave. And oftentimes the person doesn't. And then eventually the guy will meet someone else and he'll leave the relationship.
So why doesn't the woman just, so at that point, why doesn't she get out? She's getting treated like trash.
Are you ready for the number one thing that I hear from women?
Go ahead, wow.
I've done so much work on him already. I don't want someone else to come along and benefit from the person helped him to be.
Wow.
I've worked a long time on trying to make him a better person, a more loving person, a more successful person. I know he has this in him, but.
Wow, man, holy cow.
Yeah. And there are people that live relationships like that 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years. I even had an elderly couple once where they had been married 55 years. And he eventually pushed her out of a moving car and attempted to run her over.
Oh my God. Wow.
Now keep in mind, if they've been married 55 years, these are not
no.
young folks.
That's right. And I don't mean to laugh, it's pure insanity.
Yeah. And wow. At that point she finally got it. She was like, oh, this person hates me, and either I leave now or I lose my life.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you, it was kind of a wake-up moment as far as this whole conversation. Way back when, remember Bobbitt? What was the name? Bobbitt? With
Lorena Bobbitt.
Yes.
Yeah.
When that happened, I just figured everybody was going to be outraged at what she did. And then immediately you heard from all these women and on talk shows and everything else, what has she been through? Because, you know, we're thinking, you just did something bad. Why isn't she going directly to jail? And that's when you realize, at least here's how I saw it. It's like, wow, a lot of people out there, a lot of women out there are going through a bunch of crap, and they haven't got to that point, but they're going through, they know what she went through, let's put it that
mm-hmm.
way. Is that a good way of putting it?
Yeah.
Like there's a whole other side that we're not seeing.
Well, a lot of people can relate to that frustration.
There you go.
And I think that's the surprising part, is that a lot of people can relate to that sort of frustration. And most people over the course of their lifetime will have some sort of heinous thought. Now, the key is to not act upon those heinous thoughts. Those thoughts are just thoughts. Give them time to pass, and then take the message that's contained within the thought. Okay, I just really thought of something horrible. I've thought of cutting off a person's penis. What's the message within this?
Yeah.
The underlying message is, this is someone that you now despise and can't bear the thought of touching you or being intimate with you for whatever reason. So, the relationship as you know it needs to come to an end.
Yeah. Yeah.
But when people are unable to distinguish this thought from a heinous thought and it goes into a heinous action, that's where the problem comes in, because they're like, no, this ends now. I'm going to end it. I'm taking matters literally into my own hands. And this happens. And then a heinous crime occurs, and everyone's at a loss at that point.
Wow. All right, so Lola, let's close out, if you're ready to close it out, with these two things. First of all, the person that's in a bad relationship, what's like a, if they, well, you said before, if you feel like you're in a bad relationship, well, how did you put it? If you feel like the things aren't right,
they're not. Yeah, trust your judgment. Trust your judgment. If you feel like things aren't right, just trust your judgment. Remember, love is supposed to feel good. Love is supposed to be reinforcing. Love is supposed to feel warm and fuzzy. It's supposed to make you feel whole. That doesn't mean that relationships don't have adversity, but the adversity is supposed to be coming from the outside.
Okay.
Not inside the relationship. If you two are just having a tough time making a go of it with how you treat one another, leave it be.
Okay.
It doesn't mean that y'all aren't ripe for love. It just means you aren't right for one another, and that's okay.
Oh, that's a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah, because every abuser isn't abusive in every relationship.
Oh, I never saw it that way.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
People do what they can and what they will to who they can.
You know what's crazy, though, is when you said that sometimes a guy will he'll get abusive because he doesn't want to hurt her feelings to break up with her, but he'd rather hurt her. It just seems crazy.
It seems crazy, but you'd be surprised at the things that people will do. It's like, get away from me. And if I'm horrible enough, this person will decide that they don't need me in their life.
Wow. Okay.
And also, beware of codependency, because in codependent relationships, the abused person is getting something out of the abuser too. Even if it's something unhealthy, they're getting something. Or they are feeling like they have this complex where they can save the other person.
Okay.
And so if you need all of that to feel significant in a relationship or to feel some sort of power, or you feel like love is work, that's sort of a red flag that you may have a codependent personality. And it's time for you to go and seek help on your own.
Wow.
And work out all of those things before becoming somebody's significant other.
Wow. Good point. So then let's close with this then. Let's close on a high note.
High note, yes.
Because we're talking about abusive stuff. I don't know if there's anything better in life than being with the right person. There's nothing, this is going to sound horrible, there's nothing worse than being with the wrong person, in my opinion, okay? But there's nothing better than being with the right person.
Yeah.
It's just that great feeling. So, and sometimes it's not perfect, but I guess my point is I don't want people to watch this and immediately think, oh man, maybe I'm in an abusive relationship. Because you have problems. You have
arguments.
Right,
problems are normal.
Right, okay.
Problems are normal. And your response to those problems should be normal, too. Volatility is the thing that you want to be on the lookout for. Because things don't have to be volatile.
Right.
In a healthy relationship, problems can be brought to the forefront and discussed and handled with love and dignity and consideration. Dignity being the number one thing. You always want to have someone else's dignity remain intact and your own dignity and integrity remain intact. When those things are injured or willfully destroyed, then you know it's a bad deal all the way around.
Good point. Good advice. All right, Lola, that was good. That was great. There's still like a million questions I have, but we only have time.
To be continued.
That's right.
Continued.
Great. Thank you.